I'm going to talk to you about the reading from Job, but I always feel the need when that reading comes up from Mark or from the other Gospels, just to clarify the point, not to go into detail. Jesus' intention with these commandments around marriage that he was offering was to stop, which is what happened at the time, to stop men from abandoning their wives, which they could do very easily in those days. At one of the ancient rabbis said, if your wife burns your dinner, that's grounds for divorce. So the intention was, again, to stop men from basically abandoning their wives, which left them quite powerless. But anyway, that's not what I'm going to talk to you about. I'm going to talk to you about the reading from the book of Job. And specifically, I'd like to talk to you about these themes that are in this part of the reading. That is pride, suspicion, and the opposite of that, which is humility and prayer. So speaking about this book, I was trying to read the kids, or, you know, upside down, that is. This contains readings from, as I said, the ancient fathers and mothers, who were the first monks and nuns who went out into the desert at the end of the third and in the fourth century. So a long time ago. The interesting thing about them, these are mostly illiterate Coptic peasants. You know, they weren't learned people. They couldn't even read and write, most of them. But those who could took what they said, because they had such deep Christian lives and so much wisdom that they took them down what they said, memorized it, and they wrote it down, often just little sayings. And so we've been reading the sayings of these uneducated Coptic, that is Egyptian peasants, for 1700 years, which is really quite amazing. You find this in the examples in this little book I was showing the kids. So here's a couple of sayings that really have struck me lately. And I'll tell you how I think they relate to this reading. First one of the sayings from one of the early fathers is this: if you wish to have peace in this life and in the life to come, judge no one. And the second was this: before you pray, if you wish God to hear your prayers, then begin by praying for your enemies. So those really struck me so much that I don't have it right here, but I have a little book that my wife has given me, in which I write down my prayer list and any of the kind of thoughts that come to me. And I wrote those down there. They seem so significant to me. So you think about it. Let's think about praying for your enemies. I don't know if I have anybody who I'd think of as being my enemy. I don't know if anybody that's going to come and burn my crops or something like that. But I guess probably all of us have people that we might carry some resentment towards over the course of our lives. That can happen. Or people that might feel some resentment to us over the course of our lives. I don't know. Maybe that's almost inevitable to some degree. So I was reading this and I wrote it down in my book and seemed like a good idea. So I was thinking to myself, well, I should actually try to do this. You know, you have all kinds of good ideas, especially if you're a preacher, you have all kinds of good ideas, but you kind of go, oh, maybe I should actually try this. So before I began my list of prayers, my prayer list, every day, I've been thinking about people. Here are people that maybe I might have been, even from years past, have some feelings of not being happy about, resentment. I wouldn't call them enemies. And here's a list of people who I think might have some resentment towards me, and began before I did anything else by praying for them. And I'm going to tell you in a minute how that went for me. But I want to talk to you, but first of all, I want to talk to you about this part of the book of Job, because of the theme of pride and suspicion. Of course, we're suspicious of, if we have something like enemies, we're suspicious of them, and we're suspicious of their motivations. I want to talk about pride and suspicion. So the story of Job is a very familiar story to us, you know, about a righteous man who suffered unrighteously. You know, why do good things I always get that mixed up. Why do good things happen to bad people, not the other way around? Not why do bad things happen to good people? Maybe that's a problem too. You know, as we think about that, yeah, how did he endure the suffering? How was he so patient? But it's easy to miss a couple of the details that are there in the first chapter. We read part of the first chapter and then the second chapter. They're there in the first chapter, which we didn't read today, and I encourage you to go back and read it, that beginning of the book of Job. It's easy to miss a couple of details. And specifically this, that Job is indeed a just man. He's a righteous man, but he's also a slightly suspicious man. It says in the first chapter that, you know, Job is just, but he's not, he knows he's just, but he's not entirely sure about his children. And so his children would get together, big family, they'd have parties, et cetera, et cetera. And after they'd have a party, then Job would go, well, I'm going to go sacrifice to God for them because of something that they might have thought in their heart. They might have, you know, secretly cursed God or something in their heart during one of their parties. So I'm going to do this just in case. So although he's a just person, he has this kind of suspicion about just kind of very quietly implied a bit of a suspicion about other people's that they were as righteous as him. The other is that when the Satan shows up, which we saw today, it appears that he has, in a kind of way, the same attitude towards Job that Job had towards his own children, that to a greater degree, but still that kind of suspicion. So, you know, God asks Satan where he's been, and he says, well, I've been wandering around the earth going here and there. And he says, have you seen my servant Job? We heard that part. But if you were listening to this back, I don't know, 3,000 years ago or 2,500 years ago, what you would notice is Satan is describing what he's doing in language that would remind people of the activity of the secret police. Satan is not just wandering around. He is looking for trouble, and he is doing so with a suspicious attitude. And so he says to God, yeah, I know this Job looks pretty good, but there's something about him that I don't trust. There's something suspicious about him. And then, of course, we see for the next chapters that Job is plunged into the furnace, as we start to see today. He's just horrible physical illness. And on top of that, as if that's not bad enough, he has three and then eventually four friends that kind of come to see him and are offering him some pretty good advice, mostly based on the fact that they are suspicious of him, that he must have done something. He must have done something to bring this on himself. So they're sure of their own righteousness. These three friends are very sure of their own righteousness, but they're not exactly so sure about Job. And we see this, their arguments, one after another, during the course of this beautiful and long book of Job. So at the end of the story, and we won't go through that part today, but at the end of the story, we see, after all these arguments, we see two major changes. One is that Job sees God face to face, and he makes it clear. He says, before I heard of you by hearsay, again, that thing of hearsay, I heard of you by the sound of my ear. I just heard of you, but now I have seen you face to face. So it's not like, I'm guessing about you, I have hearsay of you, he has direct experience of him. And secondly, then this is the important point, is God calls Job to make sacrifices. You remember at the beginning of the story, he's making sacrifices for his children, who he loves, but who he's not entirely too sure about. Well, he's pretty sure about himself. In the end, God calls him to make sacrifices for his three righteous friends. Doesn't say why, but he's not sacrificing for the for the partygoers, he's sacrificing for the righteous. Which may just remind us that as St. Paul says, he died for the righteous and the unrighteous, and maybe the righteous need Jesus to die for them too, just as much as those who are overtly in more trouble. So I noticed a couple of things when I prayed for my enemies. That's probably the wrong word. When I prayed for people who I might have some resentment towards, or I think might have had some resentment to me. So the first thing I noticed is praying for people humanizes them. You know, if you bring somebody before God, even if you're going, yeah, you know, this and that and this and that, I'm not talking about people who are dangerous and psychopathic. I'm not talking about those kind of people. That's a whole different conversation. I'm talking about ordinary people. If you bring them in prayer before God, it kind of humanizes them. That is, you start to go, yeah, I have this picture of him in my head, but God is kind of showing me that they're a human being like me. And number two, that just like me, they may have caused harm, but it probably wasn't necessarily their intention. Just like when I've caused harm, as all of us have, it wasn't necessarily my intention. It's bad judgment or, you know, just all kinds of other things, but not some kind of really malicious intention. So the thing about the book of Job is that it intends, as we read through it, we can see that it intends to humanize us. And to humanize our picture of other people. So as not to be suspicious of other people and their motivations, and maybe even a little less certain about ourselves and our own righteousness, not to beat up on ourselves, but not just to assume that our intentions are always good and other people's are always to be viewed with suspicion. So the thing I take away from this week, reading Job and thinking about those short readings from the fathers is this. This is the thing I take away. This week, I can say to myself, and maybe you can say to yourself too, if I want to have peace in this life and in the next, judge no one. And secondly, if I wish my prayers to be heard, to begin by praying for those whom we doubt, and who, if not our enemies, are people that we may bear some resentment towards, or vice versa. So not to judge and to pray for those with whom our relationships has been kind of messed up a little bit. We ask God this week that we be freed from our own sense of righteousness and our own suspicion, and to be united with Jesus, who humbled himself and is constantly offering intercession for us at the right hand of the Father. Amen.